So I said, thoughts on Caligari? He said he didn't eat squid.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell on 95BFM.
Steve!
Hello!
Hell.
Oh.
What's going on, Steve?
I've filled my mind with music documentary footage over the past week, and it's been bloody great.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really good. I saw both of the Fyre Festival documentaries.
Is there a clear winner between both?
No, there was a... the clear winner is a tweet by David Farrier that says, whichever one you watch first is the best one. because I do share a bunch of footage. Let's do a quick recap on Fyre Festival. This was a music festival in the Bahamas for influencers.
Fyre with a Y.
And Fyre with a Y. That's important.
It is important, I think.
It underscores how dickish this entire enterprise is.
Imagine how many normally spelt Fyre festivals they are. It was a really savvy move, but then kind of downhill from there.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I don't think there's much brand equity in Fyre Festival anymore. Let's put it that way. The Netflix one. Well, actually, both the films, when you've had a disaster, so this festival was an unmitigated disaster. It became a laughing stock in 2017. It was basically become a meme factory for a couple of months. Bad catering, artists that didn't turn up, no water, no tents and stuff like that. Blink pulled out. But the thing is, no one really had any sympathy for people that went because they were drongos with too much money. So this whole sort of thing, it's a really kind of safe level of schadenfreude. And that carries over into the documentaries. So the first one that I watched, and by David Farrier logic, therefore my favourite, was the Netflix one, Fyre, the Greatest Party That Never Happened. And this has, like the Hulu documentary, has a lot of footage that arguably they shouldn't have, i.e. when there are a bunch of dudes hanging out on an island, probably coked up to the eyeballs based on their eyeballs, but there is no sign of actual cocaine, so I'm merely speculating. Palling around with supermodels and just kind of not really doing any work, just really liking being promoters, but not really realizing that there's an event to put on. And then the Netflix one sort of follows a bunch of contractors and other people that are involved in the event who kind of scrambled to deliver it. They are doing image rehabilitation for themselves. They are, you sort of go, why were you involved in this thing in the first place? It's because you're greedy, so it's sort of too bad. But some of the situations they are put in are quite crazy. The whole thing, that does reek of insanity. And it's a really unmissable documentary. I think highlights of me is a terrible toast. This appears in both the documentaries. Ja Rule, who seldom appears without half a beer clutched in his hand in a real drunky stance, does a toast at a dinner. It's like, here, still living like movie stars, partying like rock stars, and Billy, and gestures to the other boss, and Billy's rejoinder is, and fucking like porn stars. So just grade A creep, grade A wish fulfillment creep. That scene appears in both the documentaries. The other one on Hulu, which is just called Fyre Fraud, just as the title suggests, kind of maybe focuses a bit more on some of the business practices. They get Billy McFarland, who's the other organizer, in to do interviews. Doesn't really shed much light on stuff because he's just a lying charlatan of a human being. And also, apparently, they paid him for his time. So that's not really ideal. Although it should be said as well, the Netflix one is, if not a production, certainly steered by media company Fuck Jerry. Yes, that's a media company called Fuck Jerry, who are sort of up to their eyeballs in Fyre Festival as well. So there's a lot of kind of backstabbing and score settling going on. But essentially, they're huge tall tales, and you have to watch either, if not both, of those documentaries ASAP.
I'm sure it's all pretty funny, but the massive underlying sadness here is all the locals that probably got ripped off, right?
Yeah, totally. And
where was it?
It's in the Bahamas. So yeah. it's just the latest in a long line of white people have come to their islands and fucked them over.
That would have been so much work for so many people as well.
There's a kind of silver lining to at least one of the people. There's a woman featured in the Netflix doco who, she paid the people that worked for her but didn't get paid by the festival. Right. So she's out of pocket $50,000.
I saw some people running away with mattresses as well. So
yeah, there's a bit of mattress. Yeah. The stuff ends up getting looted. Like, there's one guy in the Netflix doco who explains how when everything turned to custard and people were just turning up on the doorstep of the rental houses that the production staff are living in, like turning up on the doorsteps asking for their money. So this dude swaps clothes with this other guy who lives on the island.
On camera?
No, 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 just telling the story. But he swapped clothes with like an ordinary dude, then lay down in the back seat of a car, and then that's how he got out of town.
Gotta do what you gotta do, son.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so, yeah, I think if you've got Netflix, definitely fang that one on. The other one is on Hulu, so if you've got access to that, you can track that down. But I think most people listening can probably find the Netflix one more easily.
What's Hulu?
It's a competing streaming service.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's good to hear of another one, to be honest.
I think what we need is more streaming services.
I agree.
Frankly, let's just have lots of them.
More streams.
That have incredibly similar and mundane content.
Whatever's going to minimise the monopoly, yeah, that's good.
Now, there's only one version of the next film I wanted to talk about, but frankly, there only needs to be one. This is a documentary called Bross After the Screaming Stops.
On YouTube?
You can find this on YouTube, yeah. It aired on BBC over Christmas, and it was the perfect timing when everyone was like at home and kicking about to watch a film that has some nostalgia factor to it, because if, like me, you're an old person, you may remember Bross, who sort of had 6 to 12 months of huge fame, two twin brothers kind of like gussied up into good-looking pop stars with very kind of stock Aitken Waterman-style production. Quite forgettable songs, frankly. This documentary follows their reunion after not having performed for an incredibly long period of time and having had a big falling out and stuff. And all that stuff wouldn't be interesting if they kind of weren't sort of a bit dim. One of them's gone on to have a successful Vegas career. So he was the singer, so his ego has continued to be stroked. He is a walking platitude machine, a walking ego. He's hilarious to watch. And his relationship with his brother, who he's kind of got his shit together arguably a bit better. He's a working actor in Hollywood. He's been in films like Blade 2. And so it's sort of like eked out a living. And I kind of think he's gone through a bit of LA therapy as well, because he can kind of, you can sort of see him working through things that are happening. But basically, it is a quote machine of a film. It's kind of got real Spinal Tap qualities to it. And let's just get a little feel for it. A little feel for it now. Hang on, where'd I put this thing? I had it just here.
Quarter circle punch. Back forward punch.
Bross,
back
forward kick. After the screaming stops.
Been called the biggest reunion in pop.
They were the youngest band to ever headline Wembley Stadium, and the last time brothers Matt and Luke Goss performed together at all was there, nearly 30 years ago.
80s boy band Bross are preparing to perform live 28 years to the day after their last show.
The boys are back together and about to play the O2.
I think the letters H-O-M-E are so important because they personify the word home. Chess, love a bit of chess. Got the, have a few glasses of scotch. Long game of chess, love it. Here is the little kind of conversational corner. With a butter knife at a very big tree. And I've said timber on quite a few trees now with that blunt butter knife, and I can
very dim quote machines. Elsewhere there are great lines. Let's just do many of them. I love that letters H-O-M-E personify the word home instead of spelling it.
That is very deep.
Elsewhere he says, I made a conscious decision because of Stevie Wonder to not be superstitious.
Oh man.
And if you see a man sweeping the road, that man's a king to me. He's one of my kings. Because I'm thankful I don't have to sweep the road.
Okay. Yeah.
Watch this. It's, I think if you remember Bross, it's great. And otherwise, it's just like, who are these people and why do people care?
So, why are they so wise? How did they get so wise?
Yeah. And they don't get on. The rehearsals for the show are a nightmare. It's very uncomfortable viewing. If you've ever been in a practice room with someone you're not getting on with, it's familiar. Good times. Anyway, that's three music docs worth a hern.
They're good because I do find it hard watching music documentaries sometimes, because you just kind of want to have a jam. but none of that will make me want to have a jam. So it's, I can just watch it, you know what I mean?
No. I think the thing that you touched on something before, that's probably the closest thing to making you want to have a jam is hearing that Blink 182 didn't play Fyre Festival. I posted a tweet about the doco, and then a friend replied saying he was in a bar in LA and Blink 182 were a couple of tables away really drunk, and that was when they were supposed to be on stage. Like, that was the day they were supposed to be playing Fyre Festival. So they just looked drunk and sad. Because the way they canned that festival is they figured out, like, no one had been paid. Or if they had been paid, they'd only been paid like a part of their deposit.
And they
had the really good reason that they weren't confident of delivering the show.
Oh, the infrastructure wouldn't be ready for them.
And it certainly wasn't. They were right. I think in these situations, the first one that gets out.
What was the lineup supposed to be?
Major Lazer.
Okay.
A good music showcase. So Kanye West's label, but he was never going to be performing. But they framed it like he was going to be performing.
Right.
I think Disclosure as well. Anyway, it's just
Ja Rule, obviously.
Yeah, Ja Rule.
Blink 182. It's such a calamity lineup as well. Like, what's going on here?
I've started referring to him as noted legal scholar Ja Rule because there's a great scene where there's all this footage that they shouldn't have in the film, right? Like, there's a conference call after the event where they're trying to basically figure out what they can salvage out of the disaster. And Billy McFarland is like on camera at one point going, well, yeah, Fyre Festival V1 didn't work. It's like, there's not going to be a V2, man. But they're still kind of living in some hope of salvaging something. And this guy in the conference call is like, but we just like lied to the public. Like, what are you going to do? And Joe was like, no, it's not fraud. It's not fraud. It's false advertising.
Yes.
So I think
digging upwards right there.
I think it's just he's picked up some skills in the process. So that's good.
Very nice, Steve.
All right, mate. We'll see you next week.
Good day. I reckon that's three good films to tee up when you get home from Laneway on Monday.
Nice.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95 BFM.